Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Brandon Dufour, CEO of the Next Street Drive-In. They're looking for instructors, AJ.
Oh, nice.
And I thought, well, maybe we can do it.
Yeah, let's go for it.
So, good morning, Brandon.
You can't be speeding because your favorite rock song is on in the background, though. We are 25 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone.
Oh.
Complete stops. Correct lane choices. No passing out of turns. So what do you think? Could you guys do it if
I'm
you...
out.
Yeah, complete stop.
There's a 25-mile-an-hour?
No. Made me think about getting stuck behind a student driver car.
That sign.
Right?
Student driver. No!
No, but you know, you're doing the speed limit until you get around them.
Yes. Or cut them off in some of the woods. Yep.
All right. And then as you pass them in an illegal passing, in a no passing zone, you know the instructor is saying, that's what not to do.
Exactly. Right. But they need people like us.
Right. What does it pay, Brandon?
So a new driving instructor is going to pay start at $16.50 to about $20 an hour. And then from there, once you get into the system and grow and add value, then you can earn up to, you know, $50,000 to $55,000 a year.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so it's a good job. We have great benefits. We provide health, vision, dental, 401k match, paid time off, paid holidays. And, you know, I think we're just a really fun.
I think we might lose Ashley, but she can't drive.
What about blood?
Where do you apply exactly?
What about blood pressure pills for being in the car with the kid?
Wow.
No, listen, our driving instructors love doing it. And what we have found is that everybody gets nervous of being in a car with a 16-year-old kid. The 16-year-old kid is the best kind of new driver that you could work with. They know that they don't know. They want their license. They listen. They're really, really good. Because, again,
true.
We're not their parents. So they're really, really good. The worst drivers that we work with are people like you that get in trouble and have to go back to school.
Right.
And now they're like, I know how to do this. I don't need your help.
Don't tell me what to do.
Can you have the kid stop at a package store to pick up smokes and stuff like that, like drop you off? Or maybe take it to a bar so you have a couple of pops and then come back out like a designated driver?
There was a driving school in the Valley called Jerry's Driving School. Jerry was the best guy. Yeah. I'd be hitchhiking. He'd have a student in the car. And they'd pull over and pick us up.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's the best.
I'm going to buy some weed.
My driving instructor fell asleep.
I would.
Oh, that's while driving?
I was driving.
Oh.
I would, too.
Yeah, like,
heard
I can't look at this
stories,
anymore.
Stories, and I think that's one of the reasons our business has been so successful is we apply a certain level of professionalism
to
the industry.
Young Chaz went there, and it was great. It was a great experience. You know, I thought I would teach Chaz how to drive, but, you know, it's the worst thing. You know,
it's all right, well, I want to ask you some questions to see if you could even qualify. So when we do an interview, we're trying to figure out two things. And those two things are, number one, would I be OK leaving my own son or daughter with you for 2 hours unsupervised?
Next.
So, right. Thing number two is, if I was in an airport, my flight was canceled and I landed next to you at the airport bar, would I be okay in that seat, or would I have to find a new bar? Are you cool and fun and somebody I could talk to, or are
boy.
You super annoying?
I passed the second part.
Right. Are you buying?
I feel like you're maybe, knowing what I know, we're 50-50. Okay, so here, then we go into the administrative. We're going to do a state and federal background check. Would yours be clean?
Yes.
Yeah, now it is.
AJ?
Yes.
Certain things have expired recently.
We are going to run a DCF records check to make sure you haven't had any issues with children's and family. Mm. Will yours come back clean?
I'll be fine, but I think if you ask the Girl Scouts about AJ, they'll have a different story.
I was saying my parody songs alone right there, I'm convicted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we will review those parody songs. We are going to do a pre-employment drug screen. Will yours come back clean?
What drugs you got?
I'll pass that one.
All right.
Yeah.
Phil, are you playing? Phil?
Listen to him.
No.
What the hell is that?
he's asking Phil because he's given up on AJ and almost ready to give up on me.
Oh, okay.
I still have my memory. I'm fine.
We need 40 driving instructors, and I feel like I'm striking out with you.
40?
Wow.
That's great.
We need 40.
Well, when you get to the bottom of the barrel, give us a call. Yes.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good because we're really busy and we're growing, and we could use a ton of really talented people. It's bad because right now we have a backlog for our customers that we're booking out. But we learned a long time ago not to just hire people and put them in seats. We're really selective on who we hire and who we put in with our students. And so we'll.
Why didn't you start
I'd
with that?
Have a backlog.
We would have just ended this bit 6 minutes ago.
we could have done like specialty training. We could do specialty training, like how to do a burnout, how to do a hole shot, how to like dial your phone while driving with your knees.
No, you know what we would do? We would make the video that you would show the kids before they go out on the road. Here's what not to do.
Right,
the not
right,
to
right.
do video.
Exactly.
Whatever
right.
you do, don't do this.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd be curious to see the how to successfully hitchhike and get picked up, Chad. Like, why were you hitchhiking in the valley?
This is back before I had my driver's license.
And to get places, okay. You know.
As a kid, I had to get somewhere, yeah. And I didn't want to walk.
Yeah, you can't.
But the rule of hitchhiking was if you're with two other friends, you have them hide in the bushes. Because no one's going to pull over to pick up three dudes.
No.
So as soon as the car pulls over, they all got to run out.
I think that this could be a really important video on our YouTube channel.
Right.
Chaz teaching how to successfully hitchhike with friends.
Right. This is why you pay attention in driver's school, so you don't have to hitchhike.
How to drive Ridgely so you can clean the weed. Yep.
Something I've never done. Yeah. Hitchhike.
All right, so we're going to link up at on the radio station website. 40 instructors. That's great.
Nice.
It's not like three.
It's a lot. We're a high growth company. We're moving into Massachusetts and Rhode Island now. We promote and grow from within. So it's not just a job where you punch a time card and get a paycheck. It's very much a career. We're very much a place that appreciates and respects employees, and we take care of our staff and we invest back in them. So if any of the listeners are on the job hunt, we are open and growing, and we'd love to have you.
All right, Brandon's married to our very good friend Teresa Dufour from News 8, and they have two beautiful kids, and Brandon's been sequestered with his whole family for 10 months. How's that been going?
It's hard. My son is 5.5. My daughter's 3.5. They're both awesome, and I love them, and my wife, as you know, is awesome, and I married up about 7 weeks and love her, too. We have all been together a lot. We are both working from home. The kids are homeschooling. So I think everybody's ready to get a vaccine in our arm and get on an airplane.
So if you see the CEO of Next Street Driving in a car instructing a 16-year-old, you know what the deal is with
yes.
that.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with being short-staffed. I just had to get out of the driveway.
Right.
I gotta go.
I want to see past my curb.
All right, Brandon. Good to hear from you, brother. Appreciate it. Jimmy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. A little Van Halen. I'm surprised you're playing Van Halen.
Such a shock.
Really? Are they your favorites?
Number one.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I believe, Jimmy, the greatest American rock band in the history of rock music.
I would say they are one of the greatest live American rock bands. I'm of a different era.
Right.
You're younger than me, although when we stand together, people are shocked about that, but
yes.
Nonetheless.
You have aged very well.
Yeah, right. Certainly one of the greatest. I agree with you. Any band that can replace its lead singer and stay as popular as they are.
Exactly.
I can't think of another. I mean, maybe you can think of another artist that's done that, but I.
American. See, now, the Brits, because rock came from blues.
Yeah.
Right? And blues,
right.
It was Chicago blues. That's where it all started. Then blues became rhythm and blues, and then that became rock and roll. It all started here in America.
Yep.
Now, the Brits took that idea, and they brought it to another level. You got the Beatles, the Stones, the Kinks.
Yes, on the road, yes.
Zeppelin.
Right.
And I could go on and on. However, the greatest American rock band, in my opinion, would be Van Halen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, I would always look at one era back. You know, they're an 80s band, I guess, right? I guess they'd be considered an 80s
right.
band.
Late 70s,
late 70s
80s.
Yeah.
And
80s. I sort of think the Beach Boys might be there. I hope people would still consider them rock because it was certainly rock back in that era.
Right, you have a point there, Beach Boys.
I consider David Lee Roth the greatest lead person, because not vocalist.
Right.
But
the greatest front man. Yeah.
Of any band I've ever seen.
He was a show.
Right.
Greatest frontman of any band I've ever seen. And I don't care what era you're talking about. And that certainly American. Mick Jagger probably would argue with me over that. But personally, I've never seen anybody more powerful than David Lee Roth as a frontman.
Right, Jimmy Koplik is on. And this week, just days ago, the official name of the Bridgeport Amphitheater has been announced.
Yes, that's why I always called it the Bridgeport Amphitheater. I never called it the Harbor Yard Amphitheater because that was the term that most people were using. But I always knew it would end up being the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. And so I always called it the Bridgeport Amphitheater because I knew what was around the corner, which, of course, we couldn't tell anybody because Hartford Healthcare wasn't ready to announce it yet because they had more important things to do, they said.
Right.
We were ready to announce it months ago, but they were more interested in making sure they got testing out and then more interested in getting vaccinations out. And they said when we get our vaccination system set up, then we can announce it.
I believe they were the first ones to vaccinate anyone.
Yes, I believe they were too, and they've already vaccinated over 100,000 Connecticut residents, which
wow.
is...
That's great.
Thankfully, as I said at the press conference, it is so fitting that Hartford Healthcare is the name and title for our new amphitheater when they are helping our new amphitheater open up.
Yeah.
With no disrespect meant to any other name, but nonetheless, there is a great irony there that is clear to me that, you know, we can't open up the amphitheater until more people get vaccinated, and guess who's vaccinating many of the people?
And,
healthcare.
Makes sense. Coming off of a year where the healthcare providers were really superstars and angels here on earth, to call it the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater just seems fitting. And it sounds safe, doesn't it?
It does.
Like when you go into a concert, it's like, well, we're going to the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater.
Exactly right. I feel much better.
Seems safe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In Bridgeport.
In Bridgeport. And you should sell... that's right. There could be confusion.
Wait, what?
I didn't put that one together.
How big is this place?
Well, you're connecting the two major cities in Connecticut.
That place is huge.
Two of the
well,
five.
It was all over Facebook yesterday about the name, how it was confusing. And I had to point out, if you looked at the logo, Bridgeport's in the logo. You know. And by the way, I love Xfinity, but it doesn't tell you where Xfinity Theater is.
Right.
It's in Hartford, so you got to figure out where it is to begin with. You don't know where the XL Center is,
right?
You don't know it's in Hartford. So, yes, the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater is in Bridgeport, and say they certainly are not a Hartford-based company. They just use the capital city as their name.
It's a good move on their part too, isn't it?
Well, I think it's great to get they're building their brand very much in New Haven County and in Fairfield County, and we know that the amphitheater will be mostly enjoyed by the people who live in New Haven County and Fairfield County.
Well, I love people who buy this show, and they own this show, like the Water Doctor or, you know, Car Beauty. Right. And I've run into other people in the industry, and they say, stop talking about them. I say, see, it works, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Very good.
It's imprinted.
Yeah. All right, so that was an exciting development. Any good news in terms of concerts? The phone's starting to ring. You starting to call. What's happening?
Well, I think the way we're looking, and I have not spoken to the governor's office. I've got two more weeks till I speak to the governor's office directly. But I think the way the vaccinations are going and the new rollout that the governor has on vaccinations, just making it simpler. Here's your age. Here's when you can get your vaccination. We'll speed up the process, and we won't sit around trying to figure out, okay, who's got this disease? Am I eligible or not eligible?
Yeah.
There was a lot of confusion going on. I think he simplified it, and the speed in which he's doing it, the fact that 16 to 34-year-olds will be able to get vaccinated starting on May 3rd is pretty remarkable, in my opinion. And
that's Ashley's age group.
Yep. That's me.
16?
I was pleasantly surprised.
Right. Mentally 16.
Right. Yes.
Physically
Hello.
31.
Actually
yes.
8, but good.
It is. Weren't you surprised? I was surprised too.
That's
I was
incredible.
By that.
She got the popsicle,
yeah.
Yes.
I thought, wow, we are. And you know what? That's the group that cares the least about, you know, in no disrespect, but that's the group that is
the carefree.
Basically the healthiest.
Yes.
Right?
The mm-hmm. carefree.
And, yeah, and you know, you're not going to have problems selling tickets to that age group. So that they're vaccinated before we even get to early June.
Amazing.
So it sounds like, fingers crossed.
It's all good, yeah.
That this early June concert that you and Howard have been talking about will happen, right?
It sounds promising. I mean, I have to hope that the artists will have a tour in their other states around the that will also be able to open up. So it's not, I'm flying in, this artist lives in Los Angeles, so to fly into Los Angeles, play Connecticut, and go back to Los Angeles is very unlikely.
Right.
So I have started work in New York State, and I'm heading the for Live Nation, I'm heading the local push for New York State to try to get them to open also, and see how quickly they could open up, because we've got 7 amphitheaters in New York State, Live Nation. And if I can get an artist to play New York and Connecticut, and I'm also working with Don Law out of Boston to help with Massachusetts, if we can create a little regional leg of a tour through Massachusetts, New York, and Connecticut, I think we have a little leg of run that an artist can do, and we can play in June. But right now, it's really up to the governor, and it's up to the artist.
And this is why we're lucky to have Jimmy Coplick, because he's putting together this scenario.
Smart.
So it looks like, wow, this is great.
It's working.
I'm excited about it.
It's working.
I didn't think about that. There's more than just Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I could get somebody who lives in, first of all, they have to hire a crew. They have to rehearse for a couple of weeks. They're not going to do that for one show. They'll do it for 7 or 8 shows, but not for one show. So I've got to figure out a way to get the neighboring states to be as aggressive and progressive as Connecticut is.
Well.
Is that going good?
How's it going?
It's going great.
Awesome.
Good. Cool. It's going great. I mean, I've been speaking to the people in New York and people in Massachusetts also, and trying to get them. And we're using Connecticut as a great example, and I think we are a great example. I mean, the fact that 55-year-olds starting on Monday will be able to get shots, I don't know of any state that has that in the country.
Right. And then before we take a break, calls are coming in for Jimmy Coplick right now, and you can text if you can't get in. The text is 203-882-9757. Congratulations on the Jimmy Coplick's Coats for a Cause. Mm-hmm. The final number was released this week, and it's $88,000.
Nice.
Whoa.
Woo!
So much. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And does that include the huge donation from someone I wasn't allowed to mention?
Harford Healthcare?
Yes.
I don't really know the answer to that, because they officially gave us the check earlier this week of $10,000. And they were our big donator. You know, with all due respect to people that gave a lot of money, Harford Healthcare surprised us with a $10,000 check.
Pretty incredible.
Without being asked, by the way. They heard about it and called up and said, can we give?
I'll tell them I didn't ask for any money.
Right, no. Yeah. Nothing at all, no.
All right, Greg and Stratford, you're on with Jimmy Coplick.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I was just wondering if Kiss would be playing there anytime soon.
Well, we were hoping to have Kiss, and we're still hoping to have Kiss this summer at Xfinity. They were supposed to play last summer at Xfinity. So
yeah,
We're hopeful the play will still happen this summer. So they haven't moved to 2022 yet, so fingers are crossed.
Okay.
Is Kiss, the Harford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport big enough to have a Kiss show?
I think we could probably do it the following year if Kiss continues to tour. Their rule is they're on their final tour, but they will not play the same venue again.
All right.
We had them at Mohegan Sun a few years ago on their final tour, and we planned Xfinity in 2020. Now it's moved to 2021. Knowing those guys, they'll probably extend the tour further, and I think Harford Healthcare Amphitheater could get it in 2022.
All right. That sounds good.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to 3 here. There's another Kiss call here. Robin Cheshire.
Hey, morning. Jimmy, want to know if you had anything to do with the Kiss? It was in the mid-80s up in Springfield, General Admission.
Everybody, I remember that show.
Yeah, it was, they introduced the band. I think the lights came on. You hear boom, boom, all the lights go out, all the safety lights come on, and for an hour there was pushing and shoving. Somehow I made it up to the front railing, but we were handing people over that were passing out or claustrophobic. What was that? That was like one of the greatest shows.
Well, what happened was the Springfield Civic Center's lighting electric system couldn't handle the power of Kiss.
Oh.
So we blew the whole electric system, so the sound and the lights went off at the same time for the artist. And I ran backstage because I didn't know what had happened, because the backstage, there was a generator that went on, so the lights backstage stayed on. And a very, if you'll remember, there was a very low level of lights throughout the arena, but the silent lights didn't work, so the generator kicked in. But in their infinite wisdom, the generator couldn't run an event. They could only turn lights on. So I go run backstage, and I'm talking to Gene and Paul. And Paul, and I go, guys, you got, we can get either the sound or the lights, but we can't do both on the generator. We do one or the other. So obviously the sound was the secret to get it. You got to get the sound out there. So Paul says to me, if the kids aren't getting the Kiss show, they don't get a show at all, and there's no Kiss show without lights. So I looked at him, and I said, okay, well, then I have to give everybody their money back. If I give everybody their money back, you're not getting paid. Well, Gene's eyes lit up and said, we're not getting paid? I said, well, how can I pay you? I got to give all the fans back their money. I
His
said,
tongue came
right
out,
I said,
reached into your front pocket and grabbed the money out.
I said, I'm losing a fortune. I said, I paid rent on the building. I advertised the show. I paid the opening act. I said, I'm willing to give everybody their money back, but you're not getting paid because you're not doing your full your show. So Gene looks at Paul and says, Paul? We're doing the show. We're getting paid. I realized then who was really the boss between Gene and Paul.
Right.
It was Gene.
Yep.
So they got back on, and they played with a very low level of lights, but a full sound system, and they continued to play.
Yeah, when Gene did the fire breathing, you could see him fine.
Exactly, right. Yeah, almost flash putts going off, you could see them.
I love that Rob went through this scenario where it sounded like a horrible night. They were passing and pushing and shoving and crushing and passing people over the rail that passed out. It was the best.
Yeah. Great concert, man.
Great concert.
Awesome. I'll never forget it.
Where do you want to start? Let's start with this day in 1971, 50 years ago today.
Very special day for me. Probably one of my favorite artists of all time. I did my first show with them, which was the Beach Boys, out in Columbus, Ohio, at the Agora in Columbus, Ohio.
Wow, in 71, they're smoking. Like, they're smoking shows.
Right, and smoking.
Oh, yeah, the Beach Boys in the 70s were great. No question about it.
If you flip through their catalog, you know how many different songs they have.
Oh, I love this one. We come on this loop, John B.,
my grandfather and me. They have to have a million good songs because they're all short.
And the production's fantastic.
Well, their set list is pretty amazing. We had them in 2012 in the reunion, they must have had 40 songs in their set list because they're 2.5 minutes long.
They're all 2.5 minutes.
It just puts you in a good mood.
Yeah, it's fun. I think of summer anytime I hear them.
Yes.
And Hot Rods.
Right.
And the tickets were only $3.
Wow.
$3 in 1971, though. What can you look that up, Phil? What can you buy with $3 in 1971? Yeah, in Ohio, probably 4 acres.
Well, you'll never get syndicated in Ohio now. That kills that state.
Damn it! The heart monitor. It's
automatic. So I'm guessing, Jimmy, how old were you 50 years ago?
I was 21.
Jesus. Hey, Dave, what were you doing when you were 21?
Between jobs.
Right.
I was, unemployed and had a car that broke down every other day. I walked a lot. But I had a nice-looking car on the side of the road.
This was their comeback. They had no more hit singles. They were trying to become what we called an FM band, a band that would get play on PLR rather than on the old pop stations, and they tried to change their whole image. And if you look at the picture, you'll see they all look like hippies. They all grew their hair long. And
at the
weird thing going on.
If you go on my page, you'll see the ad, actually. You see my stupid company name, which sounds stupid now, but back then it wasn't.
What was it?
Peace Island.
That sounds cool.
That sounds like if you're going to be shipwrecked.
Peace Island's where you go.
That's where you want to be.
I don't want to be on beat the crap out of the guy who just came in on a raft island.
What's their main export?
Pineapple.
Close.
Yeah, there was that shift from 64, everyone's wearing suits and have their hair cut a certain way. And from 64 to 66, it's like, what happened? You see Jimi Hendrix?
Yep. You know? Exactly.
Like, wow, that style changed.
Right.
It's called Sergeant Pepper's.
Right.
Yeah.
Sergeant Pepper's changed everything for culturally. The way you looked, the way you acted, what you did in your off time.
Should be an Italian band named Sausage and Peppers. That'd be funny.
Sausage Peppers.
Yes.
It should be a yeah.
Hey, yo.
Old Beatles tune done like Italian guys.
How you doing?
Yeah.
All right. We got to take a break. I'm going to take a quick call here, and we have lots of calls coming in for Jimmy Koplik. David in Waterbury.
Hey, Jimmy. Just had a couple quick questions for you for your
Let's do one. Let's do the best one.
Well, for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he put in Jay-Z, but he wouldn't put in LL Cool J, and LL Cool J essentially created the genre as far as like using metaphors and stuff like that. And then the other quick one was Mary J. Blige. He put in Chaka Khan, but Mary J. Blige was essentially the queen of hip hop for a good 15 years. And I was just wondering what his thought process was, or Jimmy, what's your thought process on how you decide those votes.
Fair enough. I did not put Chaka Khan in. She was not one of my choices, and I would certainly choose Mary J. over Chaka. So we're in agreement there. And I think Mary J. at some point will get in, and deservedly so.
I'm sorry,
as far as Jay-Z's concerned, it's a personal preference. I'm a concert promoter, and he was the first hip-hop artist to actually put a band behind him. And it wasn't just turntables, it was actually live music, and I think he extended the genre, and you're right about LL Cool J being an original, no doubt about it, and there's no doubt he should get in also, but I only have five choices, and the artist that brought hip-hop to live music gets my vote, but I agree with you that LL should get in also at some point, but I only have five votes. So I can only choose five artists.
Yeah, so part of it is who's nominated that year, right? So it's like being a great movie in a year where there was the best movies.
Mm-hmm. And I can't spell Chaka Khan, so.
That's why Jay Giles.
If they had six or seven, there's no doubt LL Cool J would be a choice of mine.
Right. All right, David, thank you. That was a great question.
Great question.
Yeah.
The thing that I had mentioned was that those two artists, you had said that you wouldn't be able to put them in because you have a select amount of votes. And my opinion on the situation is, if it's a certain genre and those artists are at the top of their genre, I believe that they deserve to be voted in.
I agree with you, and that's the fight I get in with a lot of people because I'm a voter for hip-hop, and there are a lot of people that feel differently when it comes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm in full agreement with you. The trouble is I see artists like Iron Maiden that I think should get in
right.
and other artists that are on the same ballot. And I'm only allowed to choose five. So when I'm only allowed to choose five, I do try to choose artists of different genres. So, and I'm very proud of voting for hip-hop music because I do believe it's got that rock attitude, and that's really what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is about, attitude.
David, great question. We like great questions.
Yep,
and clearly
you're
passionate about the music. And, you know, I wouldn't want to have to look at a list of musicians and say yes or no.
Only
yes
pick
or
five.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
I use a dartboard.
There are years you want to hit eight. Right. There are years you want to hit two. Mm-hmm. Right? So, all right, David, thank you very much.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Not a lot of energy there.
I'd be like, my mother said to pick this one and you are not it.
Sounds asleep a little bit.
4D.
The bra size?
3D.
Oh.
Those bra size. 39-40. I was like, what?
I'm like, where are we going with this?
4D.
Oh. 4D. Okay.
Yeah. 41.
4D.
Oh, okay.
42.
Dolly Parton like, zero. What?
99 1PLR, 95.9 The Fox. There's 3D. And then there's 4D.
So extra headache coming or what?
Well, no, I think that if you ever want to watch a movie, that this is the way to watch it.
Absolutely.
4D.
This is the, you know, this is the future, and it's right here in Connecticut. Tina Tyson, Director of Marketing for Maritime Aquarium, on the show. What is 4D?
Good morning. Hi. It is definitely not a reference to any sort of undergarment.
Okay, good.
Excellent.
just checking, making sure.
It is the future of entertainment. Very state-of-the-art. Like you said, 3D, you wear the glasses, you watch the movie, and the images sort of pop off the screen. 4D takes it to the next dimension and adds multi-sensory special effects to the movie. So if a fish or a shark is diving into the water, there'll be a little splash of water that hits the,
nice.
The guests in the theater. So we have sensory special effects, including scent, puffs of air, special lighting. So it really punctuates whatever's going on the screen. It's really cool.
Oh, man.
You feel it now. Nice.
When can I come in?
Anytime. I know there's a vacation week coming up for y'all.
Yes.
So, but we are open 7 days a week, and the movies are nice and short. They're, one of them is about 10 minutes long. One of them's like 12 minutes long because it is multi-sensory, and they run all day long. One's all about sharks, and one is an Ice Age short film.
So I'm guessing that one wear a coat.
Yep, exactly right. Yeah,
right.
Because it's gonna be freezing. Ice cubes hitting you.
She has to wear her 9 sweaters.
Right. Mm-hmm. They have one about squid. Get inked. Yep.
How did you know that's the one I would choose too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Nothing will damage you. Like there will not be anything hard hitting you, like an ice cube or anything that could stain clothing, like ink.
Oh, that'd be fun though.
That,
okay.
For right now, let me say it like that as part of the current lineup. But it's just all the special effects that just. It's not gimmicky, but just really add that extra layer of the experience that makes it really immersive.
I remember seeing an IMAX movie there, and I left there feeling mm-hmm. like I experienced real life. It was truly mm-hmm. incredible. So is this where the IMAX theater was? It's the same spot.
Great question. It's actually not. That's on, that the IMAX theater was on one end of our building, and this is on the other end. The IMAX theater actually is in the process of being demolished because it's right next to a train track, a train bridge that the state is in the process of renovating. So we had to construct this theater in a different part of our footprint.
From IMAX train tracks.
These people at the Maritime Aquarium, they don't mess around.
No.
Oh, you're going to build a train? Well, we'll build over here then.
Yeah.
Fine.
We'll get out of the way of the train. We're good that way.
Yeah, we'll build a 4D.
So,
We got a 4D, man.
And you just cut the ribbon on this, so it still has that new car smell, right?
It definitely does. We started showing movies just a handful of days ago. It had an official opening at the beginning of this week. The governor came down for it, so everybody's really excited about it. And it's just really incredible because we're all about teaching and learning. We want you to come and see the animals, but to learn something while you do it. And the more involved and the more immersive a movie experience could be, the more you take away from it because you really feel it. You don't just watch it. So we're really excited, and we love how excited the community is, including all of you. So thank you for having me.
Oh, no, I can't believe the ticket prices either. This seems like it's ridiculously low.
Ridiculous.
Well, we're not going to change the ticket price, but no, I appreciate that that you're excited that it doesn't seem like the type of thing that would turn somebody away from Sticker Shock. It's an easy thing to add to your visit.
$7.
I got
that.
If you're a member, it's only $6. And another cool thing about it is when we built the new theater, we had space to build out a whole new coffee shop. So we're serving Starbucks coffee there. And from a food perspective, every month we have a different bakery from the area that's our featured food partner.
That's
so
great.
You watch the movie, you get something to drink, and you support some local businesses while you're here.
You don't serve any seafood over there.
No crab sandwiches, no.
Shrimp-a-lo? Do you have that?
Do you have any shrimp-a-lo?
Right.
Not at the coffee shop.
Right. Okay.
Traditional coffee shop fare.
Swedish fish, maybe. That's about it.
Now, when you're in
they're
the
my favorite.
When you're in the 4D theater, you put on the 3D type glasses, right? So it's 3D,
correct.
But then they're coming. You're feeling at us with bubbles and water and
sensory overload,
temperatures and wind and mists.
Correct. So yeah, you would wear the 3D glasses, and then just by sitting in your seat, all the seats are specially set up that they have the special effects that come directly out of them. The seats will actually move a little bit, so. Yeah, you really just have to show up. We'll give you the glasses. We do ask, though, that you keep your mask on. We're still operating under the COVID-19 related guidelines.
Good.
But besides that, the theater does the hard work. You just have to sit there and enjoy.
Okay, I have some ideas. We're going to brainstorm right now. There are no bad ideas.
Okay.
Tina Tyson, Director of Marketing, Maritime Aquarium's on. I think you need to show Jaws 3D in that theater.
4D. I think so, yes. Right, before
a classic.
Yes.
A classic. And I'm glad you said that, because we have these two movies that are just running regularly when you come to visit. But this theater is actually one of those multi-purpose things. So we can show special Hollywood movies. We can have a lecture or a private event. So it's really the type of thing that the sky's the limit in terms of what could be done in that theater. So we're open during regular business hours, but we can open after hours for any of those type of special screenings or events.
I have another idea.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A Gallagher show.
Nice. Right. I'll throw the beans in one night. Yes.
Sensory. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Right.
I can't guarantee how safe somebody would be sitting in their seat for that.
That's
but,
right.
Chunks of watermelon. Yep.
Wow, awesome. This is wild. I remember you guys had the Rolling Stones concert movie at the IMAX, and I kick myself to this day for not going. Did you see that, Phil?
No. I was going to say, when the governor's bill goes through, you can show that again, and now you get the weed smoke right in your face.
Yeah, and the smell of bourbon from Keith.
Well, we don't have plans for those type of multisensory effects right now.
There are no bad ideas.
Not right now.
Maybe
right.
Down the road.
Right. Those
not
could
right
be
now.
$50 tickets.
Like a Saturday night.
Right? And a snack bar, forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Midnight movie, go for it.
Oh, forget it. The bakery would do great that night.
Yeah, they'll clean you out.
Yeah, we would have to stock up. But that was a great film, that Rolling Stones movie. Man,
People still talk about it.
I'm sorry you missed that.
I kicked myself. Is this the only 4D theater in Connecticut?
It is the only one in this area of Connecticut.
It's the
Mystic
best one.
Has, I mean, who you're asking, but yeah. there is one up the road in Mystic, and then there's one or two down in the city. But why go that far when you can go right here in Norwalk?
Right, and it's brand new. That's where
brand
I'm going.
Yep.
State of the art.
That new theater smell.
Exactly.
Oh, man. All right, Tina, keep us posted on the movies coming in. I'm on vacation next week. You may see me there.
Oh, yeah.
We're wearing glasses.
Well, you know, we'd love to have you, but even if I don't see you next week, have a great vacation.
Thank you, Tina.
So
appreciate it.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
All right.
Yes.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.